Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
I heard the news before I came up that our governor has COVID. Okay, can we pray for him? He's our governor. Not mighty the second time. It's not because of second time, but because he's our governor. Can we ask God to show him mercy and intervene in his life, that he will not go with COVID? And hopefully that God will use this to open his eyes, to appreciate the power of God. He will, through this experience, learn about the love and the mercy of God. And may God also use this to teach his wife and reach out to the wife that there is a power that is more powerful than what she has put her hope in. That God will show mercy on him. We stand as the ecclesia, we stand as the church, we stand as God's servants, and we ask for mercy. Father, we ask you that you show mercy upon our governor. Some may be wishing him death, some may be wishing so many things for him, but we are asking, Lord, because we have refused to toe that line of the flesh, we are asking, Lord, that you will have mercy on him. And that, Lord of heaven, that he will recover from this ailment. We know that, Lord, he has underlying medical crisis. But we ask you to intervene. We ask you to show yourself strong. Not because of him, but because of your great name. This is our desire and our prayer. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Bolu, you're welcome tonight. It's been a long time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bro Steve, you're welcome officially. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we, where do we start off from? I want to continue from where we finished last week. Last week, I began to talk about the characteristics of the army, or the people, or the soldiers, of what is required to be a soldier in the army of God. Now, Paul used three analogies to describe, of course, I beg your pardon, well, in that book he wrote to Timothy, that epistle he wrote to Timothy, he used three professions to describe us. It was, one was a soldier, one an athlete, and one a farmer. Praise God. I'm trusting God, because see, the revelation of who we are would not be complete without us looking at everything. But our emphasis is not how we are an athlete and how we are a farmer. That one is for revelation of for another day. Praise God. So that you don't assume that that's all that it is to us. I hope you're with me. So we're just looking at that aspect of that which he used as us being soldiers. Amen. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, this was Paul's admonition. Is the media up and running? Do I trust you? Has Pastor Bill trusted you? Okay, I think I will not trust you as Pastor Bill did. Amen. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, Paul admonished. It's 6 verse 12. Okay. I said 6, not 2. Okay, I can't be waiting for you. Paul was writing to Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, the natural soldier is conscripted or recruited to fight.
Amen. He is not there for parade. Amen. But we must realize, and please don't let us forget, that not everyone in the population can be a soldier in the natural army. I hope you know that. And therefore, don't let us assume that everyone that is born again can be conscripted to be a soldier. Amen. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, it is technically every member of the body is supposed to be a soldier. But everybody in the body will not subscribe to be drafted to be a soldier. Do you understand me? That is the present reality we have. However, what I'm trusting God to do is move us away from that position to where everyone will willingly agree to be a soldier. Praise the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. In Israel, Israel is about the only country in the world that everybody, male and female, at an age must be conscripted into the army. There is no woman in Israel. Once I think you're above 18 or so, that has not tasted military service. So if you are a brother or a man that marries an Israeli woman, just know that the person with you there may be a killer. Praise God. Train in all aspects of killing. So if you are the type that likes beating sisters, I may have to send Pastor Ogi to go and help you. Hallelujah. So he said, fight the good fight of faith. So in other words, this faith requires a fighting. It requires a struggle. It requires an engagement, a forceful engagement. You remember Jesus said, was it Jesus or John? He said, the kingdom of God suffereth what? Violence. And what happens? Say, it's the violent that takes it by force. So there is a struggle involved. Amen. Now, you may not see it as a struggle. You may not have testimonies, either personal or people around you who have had to fight. But the truth is that the whole history of the church is filled with people who had to fight and know how to contend. Look at what, can you give me that Jude? Give me Jude. Look at what Jude had to say. Remember Jude? He said, when I went to write unto you, can you give me verse 1? I said, Jude, not Judges. See. Eh? What's going on now, bro Paul? Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, verse 2. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. He was going to talk about common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should what? Earnestly. This is God's heart to us. In other words, this thing they call common salvation may appear simple on the surface, but when you talk about that salvation, it requires a contention. He says, I want you to do what? Earnestly contend for the faith. So it's possible that what they gave you may not be the faith. They might have given you a religion. They must have given you a life, 10 ways to become a multimillionaire. They must have given you something quite funny. But if it is the faith, it requires a contention. Hallelujah. I don't know whether you're with me this evening. I would appreciate it if you stay with me. And this contention, okay, praise God. Pastor D, is this what you were saying? It's still there. It was not removed. Maybe when the anthill becomes as tall as me, that's when you will now know we need to take it down. You should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Who delivered this to the saints? This faith, who delivered it to the saints? Eh? You don't know. You don't want to be wrong. Jesus Christ delivered it to the saints. When he was leaving, he handed over the faith to them. And they too to the next generation. And they kept handing it over. But even to lay hold on it, he said, you must contend for it. Hallelujah. So it's not going to stay right in your hands like it's going to be there passive. No. Because once they give it to you, somebody will come and contend with you over that thing. Remember the Bible says when Moses died, Satan came to take his body. He laid claim to that body. And it took an angel to contend with him so that he could take that body. Amen. You would have assumed that he was not Moses, the servant of the Most High God. Nobody should be making that kind of claim. But everyone needed to contend to claim his body. Praise God. So what you have in your hands is the same thing as what they gave to Esau. And somebody came with subtlety and everything and took it from him. Praise God. I don't know if any of you have come under, you have not had a life and death situation before. Maybe a robbery situation. You hear armed robbers outside, we open gates. Many of us will go to toilet 10 times. Do you understand me? It's natural. It's a natural reflex position. Amen. I will tell you how to respond if they come. Because I don't know how. But sometimes, if you have a gun and they are making noise, you just need to sit in the parlor and say, let the first person come in. I can guarantee you will not enjoy the booty of this heist. You know, the first person would not want to put his head there. See, you understand? Just let the first person come in. But I can guarantee that first person will not enjoy whatever you make here. Then it will not be you go. Say, I mean. So it will be a psychological warfare. Nobody wants to come. Because the dog can only take one person. And God bless them. If you have a double barrel, that person will just shower, bow, crack, crack, cock again. The next person, just the next coming. Just everybody just jump over the fence and leave you alone. Praise God. But you're not leave. Do you not drive car into the house? They will just wait for you to drive. They just enter the house with you and your car. Praise the Lord. Then you now say that gun you were shooting, that mouth you were making, come and remake it. So Allah alone show you. Praise God. Yeah. Don't try this at all. Praise God. So that is why we need to contend. And like I told us, there is contention not only for your own soul, there's contention also for the souls of others. Praise God. So it's a double responsibility that we have for ourselves and for others. So Paul warned Timothy, said, pay attention to your doctrine. Pay attention to the things you are teaching so that you can, first of all, save yourself and then those who listen to you. Paul warned, said, I don't want to have enlisted others and then I now become what? A castaway. That means you have not been contending properly. And God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Amen. And so when Paul was, now he said, 1 Timothy 6:12, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on what? Eternal life. Whereunto thou art also what? Called. And you have professed a good profession before many witnesses. When he was being enlisted, when he willingly came forward to say, I want to join in this battle, they said, you made a profession. Before many witnesses. Praise God. Do you know how many of you have made such before God? Amen. While you were praying, Lord, I commit my life to you. I give you everything. I will follow you anywhere I go. And some of you think that God thought you were playing. Many people's problem in life may be traceable to the things they said in prayers. And they live in that place, forgot what they've said. and they find that God just blocked their own way. They will try and try and try, and nothing will happen. And if God is not entreated, he may not tell them the source of their problem. They will look for Ogun, delay, they will die. They won't find the source of the problem. And if God shows mercy on them and they get to heaven, God will say, it was your mouth that put you in trouble. Because you made vows, and you did not fulfill the vow. But when you stand and say, Lord, I give you my life, you were making a vow. Am I making sense? I don't like the way all of you sat there at the back. Honestly, Moiti, back sitting, all of you come and sit in front. I want to see. It's not social distance. We created social distance. If you are not taking care of baby, if you are not a married woman or a married woman, if you are not a breastfeeding father or a breastfeeding mother, praise God. Amen. Bro, which one are you doing? Are you breastfeeding father? My friend, come and sit in front here. Praise God. Even your wife, go, is sitting in front of you. Don't do like Labatot. The wife of Labatot. Amen. So there is this need for us to appreciate that. Maybe we need to change the way we present the gospel to people and realize that it's a life and death thing. Maybe the reason why it's not so, nobody's threatening us today. We have political freedom, we have religious freedom, we have everything at our disposal, right? But it's beginning to show that it's coming to an end. Ordinary COVID, government is regulating how we live. Are you with me? They are just beginning to realize that they have that power over us. Praise God. I was watching a particular drama. My friend sent it to me. Some people went in America. They were really against their elected officer. I said, how can you legislate that I cannot breathe? I must put something in my mouth. God gave me air to breathe. And I said, I cannot. I must cover my nose before I breathe. What kind of not? And they were saying all kinds of things. They can say that in America, not in Nigeria. Mopo will not let that happen. Praise God. So you understand? So we don't have freedom of speech. Like that. Amen. However, what I'm trying to say is that in the days when Paul and these people lived, once you submit to water baptism, you have written a death sentence for yourself. You have written yourself a death sentence. Praise God. And God will help us in Jesus' name. So when Paul was going in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he had this to say at the end of his life. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. I want to ask you, from your understanding of the life of Paul, what kind of fight did he actually fight? Do you understand that question? Can we really say he was involved in street brawls? Was he involved in karate fight? Was he involved in street, he and Okada drivers fighting each other? Was that the kind of fight he fought? That was not the kind of fight he fought. So what kind of fight did Paul fight? That he said, I fought a good fight. Praise God. It's instructive that the Holy Ghost lets us have all these writings in order to give us a pattern. I fought a good fight. It's not just enough to preach the gospel. It's enough for you to defend the gospel and defend truth, even if they have to ostracize you. Even if they have to call you names. Even if they have to kill you. Among groups, especially old student association groups, my colleagues when we were in school back there. And some of them are abroad. No, some of them have gone to Louisbo, so they are well enlightened. Now, how do you expect somebody like me living in Akure be discussing with them about certain things? They are filled with liberal mindsets. Their mindsets are filled with liberality. They are filled with, you know, all this kind of nonsense, Louisbo talks and all that. How do I communicate without them abusing me? I don't know if they understand me. Have you been somewhere where people just look down and say, where do you say you live? Okay, I understand. Okay, please, I'm going to America tomorrow. Can we meet in New York? You know, do you know what they've done to you? If your heart is not strong, You go home and cry. Then God, why me? What did I do? Can you go back after that insult? Go back and say, hey, as we're talking before, you need to be born again. It's, is it by force? We're born again by force. First, I fought a good fight. He laid his life down. Now, you can now begin to understand where it was coming from when he wrote that epistle to Timothy. He didn't write a theological masterpiece. Because as far as I was concerned, he didn't even know that these books were going to be preserved by God. He was just simply writing a simple letter that came from his life. Now, I'll say somebody somewhere, one of the most powerful testimonies you can give is your personal testimony. Are you with me? It's a different thing when I'm sharing Sister Bimbo's testimony. Okay? I want you to be born again. There's this sister in our church that God did for her. But when I say, this thing happened to me, it's a different ballgame. I don't know whether you understand. So when he was writing, he was speaking from personal experience. That's why we pray, Lord, give me my own experience. When you have your own experience, you can say, I know whom I believed. Where I know. But when you have no experience, you can say, God of Adeboye, God, that tells you that guy does not have a jack relationship with God. God has never moved in his life. But when God does it for you, it now becomes personalized. That's what Pastor was telling us. You must have antecedents. Something that you can base your faith on. Something that you have an experience with. And so this man was speaking from experience. I have fought a good fight. What did I do? I have finished my course. One other thing about a good soldier is that he understands his boundaries. You know, in Joel, when we're talking about the army of God, they said, all of them will go what? In their own path. Not will break ranks. That means he won't cross to somebody else's path and disturb somebody else. No. He will keep to his own path. So in that aspect of athletics, he spoke about you and being an athlete. He also spoke about being you a fighter. So being an athlete gives us a different understanding of you knowing your own course in life. Some of us, we have problems. We become intimidated when some people talk about their own personal testimonies. I just want to thank the Lord. As I just got into ShopRite, the governor just came out and saw me and he saw the glory of God upon me and said, man of God, you're a man of God. Yes, hey, I know the man of God. Yeah, hallelujah. You now look at yourself, God, when would they know the man of God on me? They just intimidate you. Praise God. But can you be confident in your own calling? Can you be confident in the grace that, even the little grace, if it's tiny grace, if the anointing upon your leg is to be cleaning tear, can you be confident? Can you be okay? Nobody intimidating you. Making you feel some kind. Do you understand me? Look at, is it Rhoda? Do you remember, was it not Rhoda? Who was Rhoda? The sewing mistress that was sewing jacket. That was her own course. Who is Rhoda? Okay, so I got confused because of where is Rhoda gone? Original, where's the original Rhoda? I saw her. Okay, you were confused me. I was seeing Dorcas and your name came up. Praise God. Dorcas was just simply doing her own course. It was on the strength of what she did that Peter could approach God and ask for her to be returned. Do you understand me? Now, she did not compare herself with Peter. She did not feel intimidated by Peter's CV. Have you read Peter's CV? Whose shadow was passing and people were being raised. Share it to her, anointing Henry. If I have that one alone, I'll be an international speaker. Praise God. I will leave Akure. So this place is too small. If I have my shadow, I'll be selling it. Do you follow me? But she was not intimidated by that. She was just simply doing the little that grace was giving to her to do. Amen. Amen. Now that does not say that if you started off as a cleaner, now that's where you are going to end. Don't say, Pastor, this is where I have grace for. And you stay there for 20 years. Ah, you need to be born again. You should graduate from washing table and to. Did we not see that in the Bible? When the people were made deacons. Eh? Stephen them. They were serving. Deacon was not a big deal. Ah, I'm deacon. Hey, you don't know me. I, a pastor, went to the East. The pro-chancellor of Madonna University. We were going to see him. So we had waited. So eventually we saw him in them one morning. So when he came in, everybody stood there and were kneeling down. Is it my father? Father, they were calling him. So we stood up and said, good morning, sir. And he looked at us from, when you look at somebody from up, down, be down to up and up down. And for the bad case, I would have, we had lost that contract. There was no point. But for the sake of that, we have traveled far, just let us just see the man. And when we saw the man said, even Satan knows I'm a father. Hey, John, what is the difference between father and sir? I didn't call him father, I called him sir. So he felt that sir was little beneath him. And we belittled him, calling him sir. Not knowing that we ourselves, God, we get hoy for head. Praise God. You must grow. But if for any reason it's not like graced you, stay where you are. Don't kill yourself. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So, we have to understand this. So, what are the other characteristics that are, that's where I'm going this evening. I pray I can finish in Jesus' name. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 9, 26. Again, we need to look at this aspect. Of course, you'll see that across board. It's called focus. Focus. There are many things that can break our focus. Many things can distract us. I remember Jesus. You know Jesus. The first distraction I saw with Jesus was when Satan came and said, look, young man, you came for the glory of the nations. You claim for the wealth and everything that are in the nations. Say, look, young man, we don't need to drag this case too much. We all know why you are here. Look, I have a better offer. It's mine to give. And whosoever I want to give it to, I'll give. So, but let's make this thing very easy for all of us. Bow your knee and I'll give it to you. In fact, you don't need to bow the two. Just one. In fact, you don't even need to go down finish. You can do like this. It's okay. I swear I won't tell anybody. And I'll give it to you. That was the first distraction. It sounded reasonable. But that was not what it was born for. Do you follow me? He had to go to the cross. He rejected the offer. Then he now made him a second offer. But you see, when that offer was made, what you read was that people came to want to forcefully make him king. That's what you read. But what was happening in the unseen realm was Satan sponsoring another move. Do you follow me? That was what was going on behind the scenes. It was the same devil that first offered him that came back again to mobilize people and said they were going to make him king. Amen. That was a distraction. Now that is a lesson, and I pray God will help us internalize it. How, when do you get a breakthrough that was never intended by God? When is a breakthrough offer really not of God? I don't know whether I understand that prayer. Because it's not every breakthrough that is orchestrated from God. They are just distractions. But Jesus would have fallen, like any natural man would have fallen, if you do not know the real purpose for your coming. I don't know where you understand me. If you don't know, you will. Look, I can guarantee you with my water. Praise God. I can bet with my water, not my car, that you will fall. And so, focus is very important. The goal is very important. And that's why I tried at the beginning to try and let us see what exactly are the objectives of the kingdom. What exactly is God trying to orchestrate? So that somebody else or a spirit does not come tomorrow and give you a new revelation. I was told of a guy in America who went to... which university do they have? Ora Roberts University. Anointed young man. Powerful. And the spirit came and told him that it's okay for gays and all that. That God cannot cast a gay to hell. That God is too nice for all that. And persuaded him to change the goalpost. They say he has the largest gay population church in America today. Praise God. You don't understand. This is at the age. This is the age when spirits are going to come. There is nobody they won't fight. That is why you need brethren to stabilize you. When revelation come, I said, God came. And Pastor Bello can say, no, God didn't come. It was God. And Pastor Ogi said, no, sir, I can't be God. And Pastor Bolo said, no, it cannot be God. I know that immediately something is wrong somewhere. Do you understand? Because except two or three agree. Their spirits must agree. The thing must flow with them. Do you follow me? When it's not flowing with them, I know some, that revelation, I drop it. Except the spirit, soul, and body thing that I didn't drop. Praise God. Because of course, by the power of, my revelation was not spirit, it is Bible. I follow Bible. Praise God. Let them come and preach their own. Praise God. Amen. Where did I stop? So, what am I talking about? Focus. Paul said, I therefore run, not as uncertainly. I'm not unclear. Of what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. You may not agree with me, but I know what I'm doing. He says, so fight I, not as one that beated the air. Have you seen a boxer win world heavyweight champion? He's boxing here. So after you have boxed the air for 20 hours, come and give you crown. Have you seen anybody like that? No. You must have a definite person's face you are boxing. Amen. And the truth is that if you look at many of us and what many of us are doing, we are really not pushing the walk forward. The kingdom is not advancing. Few days ago, my friend sent a video clip to me, and I was scared. People are doing things in this country that I was like, wow. One of the five major buildings going on in this country are multi-billion worth of structures. I saw Lateran Assembly Building. It's over 15 billion. What? How you machine that kind of resources? And for what purpose? And to what end? I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say. There's another one, there are buildings. Eve. 100 million seats. Is it good?
I don't know. That's one of the pastors.
How did pastor get there? I don't know. Something distracted him. He missed it somewhere. It was never like this before. But somewhere, RCCG, House of David, or City of David, in Lekki, he's building a multi with helipad, everything, terrace, hanging garden, everything. Billions too. That is one branch of Redeemer, not the mighty Redeemer. Praise God. And I read many years ago in Rick Joyner's book. I think he said, no, he didn't write the captive, he said the captive way. Something about captivity or so. One of his books, I don't remember the first one I read. He said, in his vision, he said there were two cities. There's a city of Christianity and there's a city of God. So the city of Christianity, they were doing massive buildings. Do you know that Nigeria holds the highest record of church capacity that can hold people in the world? And they are building. In fact, they told me of the new Canaan land. The one bishop is building, that one he has is obsolete. He's putting something else. That one can hold 150 or 200 people at once. And in 5 minutes, they will be out of the... It's like stadium. When you enter and you sit, that seat is a lift. It will go mechanically and to click, ping, 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 out at the stadium. They back, turn back, they will press, but the thing will come, all of you will get down and you walk out. The next set will come in. Eri. I'm still wondering what I will do when God blesses me with money. So I told somebody, this is what I will do when God blesses me. I will be the first Nigerian pastor to go to the moon. Space shuttle, I will just fly there. I will preach from there. And tell them, have you tried that before? Praise God. And then we start competing. I was told of a man of God who came to his friend's dedication of his house. When he saw his friend's house, it was locally. And started his own building the following day. That guy's building must not beat his own. Cotton shin here. Mew sorrow, pastor. Mew, okay. Mew sorrow. Mew, anybody you. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? This is simply because then there is something went wrong. Somebody gave them another vision. They took what was in their hands and they replaced it with something else. And this is how Kenzegin explained it. So if you go read the days of when Solomon dedicated the temple, all the instruments in the temple were made of gold. I think when Rehoboam came, he brought in brass. It looks like gold, but it's not gold. And that's what we are doing and we are seeing today. And people are drawn in ministry on the wrong premise. And direction and purpose. To tell the truth, the best way for you to be popular in this world is this gospel. Just carry a microphone and you go to the top. I was talking about Barrister Jemilu, that for you to be a renowned lawyer among lawyers in Nigeria, you will do win like this. The case is, after you have become son, you now have to prove that your own son is even more than other son. You know the cases, high-profile cases you'll be engaged in. You'll not be a small son. Do you follow me? It's difficult. But I do microphone. Go to Ilara. Go and see Daddy. Daddy will give you what it takes. You will do a Awero. Praise God. And why don't they do a Awero with law? Why don't they do a Awero with engineering? So easy. But this microphone is easy to do. Are you with me? So it's easy for you to become popular. It's easy for you to become, well-known and all that. Paul, on the other hand, was well-known. He was very popular, but for the wrong reasons. And I will show you in scriptures. It was for the wrong reasons Paul was popular. Amen. And so we as a people, and as children of God that have been conscripted, we must know why we are fighting. We must know what we are doing. Must know what God wants accomplished. So that it's not the crowd. People don't understand God. God is a terrible person, He said in righteousness, he will cut his work short and will complete it. To get people born again to the kingdom, to drive people into the kingdom, it does not take him anything. Look, God can only pack Bogowa, just carry all of us like this and throw us away and raise a new set. You know what God is doing in the East, in the Middle East? Jesus is appearing to people who are called Muslims and is getting them saved. And is releasing them as apostles. You guys, we will just get one down there and find that we are completely obsolete. You don't even know what's going on again. They've packed us one side. They've moved on. May we not become like that. But there's a danger if we don't align properly. Praise the Lord. So don't let us run as if we don't know what we are doing. It's not just, you see, church, like I said, church is just a place for us to be built up. The whole purpose of God goes beyond the church. It's about the kingdom. And the kingdom is bigger than the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the what? The fullness thereof. Everything in it is the Lord's. And so his kingdom encompasses over. His kingdom reigneth over all. Praise God. There is nowhere in creation where God does not have sway. Except he just chooses not to intervene. So it's everything. So God is bigger than every small thing we are doing here or will ever do. So don't let us have that funny idea that it's about us. It's not about us. It's about him. Praise God. Can we look at 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 29. I'm looking at certain things, attributes you've been to see in a person who has accepted to be conscripted to be a soldier. Paul was right asking this rhetorical question. Because you remember, Paul was one who started the church in Corinth. But he was not the one who started the church in Rome. He met the church in Rome there. So he could not claim leadership. But the one in Rome, in Corinth, he had claim. And then he had the situation, for whatever reasons, that the people in Corinth began to compare with other apostles. Praise God. And they came to a conclusion that his calling was inferior to the other apostles. I saw Sajem Milo. Said some people come to me and said, Arume is their father. Kini is their mother. And then, when there is trouble, they run to a pastor. If I watch your status and I see you say Arume is your daddy, just know that you are just floating here. Because I will never take responsibility as a pastor again. That Arume, you can meet him there. When you're in trouble. When you want to marry, when you want cancer, go and meet Arume. Praise God. Some of you will, when Mr. come for, sir, you bless me, sir, you bless me. You go and empty your account and give man of God. The people here that is, even if it is this cha-cha-cha-cha, deserve it. And the rev. You just buy what Allah, you will follow that man. Honestly speaking. Mother's not anybody. Okay. Pastor, I should be weary. Pastor, Bello bless us on Sunday. Nobody put that in the pocket. Pastor, it might be new. It's only 1,000. A blessing. But when the men of God, hallelujah. God will forgive you for your trespasses. God bless you for saying amen. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. How? Said in labors. More abundant. These are things, these are values you must look for in a man. It's not the microphone manifestation. No, not microphone manifestation. There are many people here that they don't have microphone, but I know them. Are you with me? It's not microphone. It's just, they have capacity. I want to ask you, please. Simon, Brother Simon. You don't remember Brother Simon? That God the Father said you will not die until you see the Lord's anointed. What calling did he have? What office? Is he a prophet? Evangelist? King? Please tell me which prophet had that anointing that Simon had. All the prophets from Adam to the last person in the Bible who had that anointing. He said, you will not see death until you see. Which one? Okay, maybe Brother Enoch. Enoch came close, but this man carried something that we are still trying to enter. It's called immortality. So what would thou call him? I know if you meet Brother Simon, you just say bro. But it's not really your bro. It was a father, it was a patriarch. The spirit rests upon him. And when death is passing around, when death sees, you go somewhere else. She followed me. So when you now want to compare him, you say, when I ask you, who is the greatest prophet in the Bible? Some of you say Isaiah. But you don't remember Simon. Then, so because you measure people by manifestation. But fortunately, Jesus himself confounded the problem. So of all men born of woman, not as great as John the Baptist. Yeah, tell me what prophecy, one prophecy that John gave that shook the heart. How many times had the devil prophesied? Did it cover? Who remanta he prokotos? I can see. Do you follow me? He had no such manifestation. Yeah, Jesus Christ said he was greater than them all. So the evaluation we evaluate people, we need to change it. You need to change it. Praise God. He labors more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, they know me in prison. Hallelujah. In death, quite often. There was a time they killed him and they raised him back again. So he had out-of-body experiences. Praise God. Of the Jews, 5 times you served I 40 stripes. Save one. Next verse. Twice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Twice I suffered shipwreck. Honestly, if I have to go through this, I won't preach again. Is it by force? You don't understand me. You don't understand. I don't know whether you're getting the attitude and the mindset of a warrior. Been beaten. I'm trying to help you. Have you tried to help somebody before? And the person leave me alone. Well, how do you react? You follow me. But you have to come back again and they have to keep on beating you. A person you have come to help and save. And this guy is maltreating you. It doesn't make sense. Thrice I suffer shipwreck just to get these guys to get to know Christ. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Next verse. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers. Me, I have refused. Somebody was saying that, Pastor Daddy, you have not come to drink on me. I said, since when Boko Haram and Fulani herdsmen took over the road, I have stopped going to Abuja. Praise God. Is that I'm Ole? Not your problem, praise God. If I knew you guys have millions, I would have risked it. So if they carry me, all of you can always put money together and bail me out. In perils by my own countrymen, in perils of by the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. The most difficult people you can handle are false brethren. Did you remember the story of Julius Caesar? Those of you that read and did literature. When all of the guys were choking Caesar. Caesar didn't die. What killed Caesar was when his friend Brutus stabbed him. He just lost. There was no point. So I told Brute, you too, and gave up the ghost. Because the warrior would still have survived. He would have fought his way out of that. But when his own friend, you too, you. Well, I don't think there's any need for him to stay alive. Let me go. And I give up the ghost. So that's the problem with false brethren. You don't understand what Jesus went through when Judas came to kiss him. Many of you think that the closest to Jesus was John. No. The closest person to Jesus was Judas. They were pals. Judas was the person Jesus could trust with money. Amen. You don't understand. And I can imagine nights they would have been talking and discussing many things. And suddenly he came and kissed him. And I said, you betrayed me with a kiss? How do you cope with betrayal? Disappointments are great. You can handle disappointments, but betrayal. You need extra grace. I don't believe in extra grace. You just need simple grace. The same grace. But for the sake of this, you need extra grace. Amen. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Next verse. Beside those things that are without, that will come upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Look. There were many branches that they were fighting. Amen. You will hear one pastor and just impregnated somebody. I can't understand how Baba Adeboye is coping. I think he has gone to a point where he doesn't care anymore. The way we take para him. Kill yourself. Any me. Are you with me? That's the truth. He has, see, these things are, once any of you have problems, is it, I begin to enter a mood. So can I now imagine if everybody has problems? I will need a doctor to make sure that my blood pressure is okay. Say, so who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? Yet with all this, it was still required to stay focused. That is warfare. Amen. This one is more than Ogundile. The one that your people are fighting you, this one is worse. Because hell is the one orchestrating this. Give me the last verse, 30. I will leave this one. I have just a few more minutes, about 15 minutes, and I'll go. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my what? My infirmities. Paul was a very strange character. Very, very strange. I thank God I don't have the grace, and therefore I will not have the troubles that God gave Paul. Because I'm not sure whether I can survive what this man survived. But this is a reality and a truth that the first century Christians faced. Quite a number of them faced the same thing. And you ask me, how do I know? Go and read the book of Revelation. When Jesus Christ was talking to the churches, the seven churches. The one that trips me most was when Jesus Christ said, some of you, Satan will put in jail. And some he will kill. He said, just be faithful to the end. What kind of Jesus is this? Who will make no effort to save you? Do you understand me? So, and I remember my experience. The time I said, God, I want you to teach this my classmate that I'm serving a living God. I want A in this exam. I said, suppose I don't give you A, does that mean I'm not still God? I said, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't know it was like that. Do you with me? There are times you say God will save me and he will not save you. Does that change him being God? It doesn't change it. So that's why those books were written. Like the book of Job was written. His afflictions were written so that you can be encouraged that you are not the first type. You are not the first one going through it. After all that affliction, Job made this statement. Even though he slays me, I will still stay here. That's a warrior. Are you with me? So these are things you and I must come to appreciate. That this is not. If it comes to that, if it comes to you and I giving up our lives, are you going to take a position? I'm not praying. I'm not praying that we will come to that. I'm not praying it. But if the times and seasons change, and we find ourselves facing that, then we must take a position. Hallelujah. Because listen to me, time and seasons will change. Praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 2-7. I want us to look at this. Now, I want to compare this and Acts of Apostles. I want us to just look at this, compare and contrast. This is what Paul told Timothy. Like, the requirements for those who will be soldiers. And when I talk about soldiers, please listen to me. Listen to me. When Jesus Christ said, ye are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Do you understand what he was saying? Many don't seem to understand that. In a nutshell, what Jesus Christ was saying to you and I, that technically we are going to be leaders in the nations of the earth. Because it is a man that has the light that becomes the leader. Now, you may not have positional leadership, but you will have not religious leadership. You will just be a leader. Praise God. When Israel was confused, who did they go and meet? They went to go and meet Dorcas, Deborah. Deborah was not their king, but she was the one that had access to heaven. Do you understand? Elisha was not in the palace, but Elisha controlled three nations. So I want to ask, who was king? Was it the king in the palace or the man that was in his house? Who controlled the nations? Do you understand me? He was a leader in his own right. Nothing happens in the nation without them asking of him. I don't know whether you are with me today. So you are the salt of the earth. That means if the earth, you are the one that is going to prevent the earth decaying. It's leadership. You are going to be the priest that will hold, that will stand between those who are living and those who are dead. Like Aaron stood between the living and the dead. Am I communicating? You are supposed to be that powerful. So when you are the light, just like I use as a simple illustration, light goes out of this place, everywhere is pitch dark, and somehow, precious switches on light. It's not about our age. If all of us are going to get out of this place in one piece without breaking our legs, hallelujah, who do we follow? The person that has the light. So you are the light of the world. Automatically confers upon you leadership. Amen. So when Paul was therefore writing, he was saying, this is what we are going to look for when you are going to enlist men to take positions. A bishop then must be what? Blameless. Are we there yet? Where we can look for a man and say he's blameless. A pastor told me about a brother in the church. Who was a brother in the church? And nobody in the church was an usher. And nobody in the church, he was a director in one of the ministries in Lagos. Director. But you not know. Now you think he's humble. No. It was not because of humility. It was because he was doing runs in the office. So he won't want anybody to know he's there. So if you know he's a director, you come and say, Daddy, sir. Can we see job with you? Because he was giving our contract. Now, how will he ask the church brother to bring? Say you understand. So rather than him facing that, he doesn't even let you know who he is. He comes to church like a simple brother. And you look at him and say, hey, your brother, you'll get around. So when the brother went to the ministry one day, I saw her. They say, Mr. So-so-and-so is the director. He said, really? Amen. Blameless. Blameless. The husband of how many wives? Two. Three. Four. Vigilant. You know what this means, vigilant? Somebody that knows how to have oversight. He has oversight. He's careful. He can perceive, he can see. He's sober. He's not the one that plays who and bed music. He says, boys, boys, just so fair. He likes it. Praise God. Of good what? Behavior. Giving to what? Hospitality. Not the guy that you come and greet. Says, our kids are. And praise God, me the lunge leo. We just came to greet you, sir. What? Some of you have gone and learned hospitality. Some of you have that nature. You can't even offer water. Yeah, am I being your soldier? But I know me too. They will get the message that you don't come next time. Okay, I'll leave here. Let me leave this one. Because it's not comfortable. Nobody is happy with this one. It is what? Up to teach. You know what? It's not teaching like Father Ogi. It's not that kind of teaching. It's a teaching that when Aquila and Priscilla, when Apollos was not accurate, they brought him home and gave him jollof rice. With very, very wicked kind. When the man of God finished eating and it was okay, they now explained to him the way of the Lord more accurately. Can you undo doctrine? Can you explain? Can you make clear? It's a skill. Look at Acts chapter 6. Not given to wine, not striker, not greedy or filthy looker, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 6. Look at verse 2. I think I want to end there. I can't continue. I'll continue next week. But I'll soon be finishing. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Verse 3. Look at the conditions. Wherefore, brethren, look ye among you. How many men? 7 men. Of what? Honest report. Honest report. The same thing he also said, good conscience. Honest report. Full of what? The Holy Ghost. And wisdom. Whom we may appoint over this business. Praise God. So when Paul said, anyone that desires the office of a bishop desires what? A good work. It's also a business. Amen. Because at the end of the day, God is going to take account and find out whether he has made profit by appointing you into leadership or not. Praise God. Any commission they give you, you must come back with a profit. Now, what you and I may consider a profit may not be what he considers a profit. I want to close on this story. Now, I don't know. I wasn't there. But the story simply fits this narrative. Is that okay? Somebody said many years ago that late Baba Dari, in prayer one day, was told by the Holy Ghost that all your years of service, he said, only 2 persons. How many? 2. Have been touched by your ministry for the kingdom. And when I heard that, I was scared. You know Baba Dari now? You guys, you know Baba Dari? Prophet. Okay, let me use the official title. Prophet Obadari. That man has been preaching before I ever knew that there's somebody called Jesus of Nazareth. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. And if God said only 2, then there's a problem. There's a problem. I had to sit down and reevaluate everything that I was doing. And I used to pray one prayer. May we not cross over to eternity? And they said to us, nonsense, Lucio. Some God will not even say anything to them until they cross into eternity. But may you find mercy that God can speak to you before you cross over. So that you can adjust. There was a man called Hezekiah. God was grateful, merciful. Said, put your house in order. How many people did God tell that to? And a foolish man spoiled everything. Do you understand? So there's so many lessons for us to learn when we read this story, the stories of these characters. So much to learn. And so, I have to ask myself, what exactly does God want? And funny enough, those things are in scriptures and we are not seeing them. Amen. It's not about crowd. If God blesses us with crowd, we will take them. In fact, we want, I'm trusting God that this place will be filled, that we can start 2 services. Praise God. But that is not the objective. In pursuing that, we must not lose focus on the main things. Praise God. You say it is difficult. Yes, I agree with you. That's why with God, all things are possible. So as I close this evening, I think I was hoping I would finish this evening, but I'll take one more Tuesday, and hopefully I will finish my own discourse. Then the men of God can come and bless us. I want to sit down too and receive ministration. Praise God. So as I close today, what kind of value system do you have in place? What kind of value system do you have in place? Because if you have the wrong value system in place, you will not have a proper perspective that God will want you and I to have. And therefore, it will be difficult for you to fight this fight and fight well. Paul was writing to Timothy. He said that strives should strive lawfully. That is a lawful way to strive. Are you with me? And there's an unlawful way to strive. Sure, you know those wrestling people. Wrestling. When a referee takes his eyes away, they will just give one. And referee will not know. That to them it is lawful. But we know that was Ojoro. You can't do Ojoro with God. It's not possible. Can't get away with it. For example, one Ojoro that we can do. I can come here. I want to do a healing crusade. Praise God. I want to do healing. I want to. And there's a way I can steer your faith up. I can lie. I said when I was, when I went to Abeokuta, praise God. One man came and God just told me, lay hands upon him. And I laid hands on the man, jumped down, and God raised him. Ah, he was raised. Hey, all of you jump up. Praise God. I'm going to call Oscar 1B. Said she saw Mrs. Tunumbu. She was baking cake. She was using foil to bake cake. Foil. Using the microwave. Put the jewa until we went back home. And when we got started again. But see, we could not tell each other because can we say God cannot do? Praise God. This is the last story. Pastor, I don't know whether I have 9VG. When our mama came back, I don't remember that 9VG. The shoot story. Went to a program and removed that shoe. I said, everyone that does not have, is it husband or wife or baby? Baby, come and put your leg. And everybody that put their leg, the shoe fitted them. I know that the goat in Mecca is as high as this one. This one your own. Statistically, that is impossible. That every sister in this room will wear your shoe. Your own shoe. What size are you using? 38. Convert it to normal one. It's not normal now. There's size 6, there's size 7. Yeah, normal. 7. Kini wawo. I just corrected somebody and you're giving me confusion. Kini wo. 9. Wabo ye kereto iwo 9. Glory to God. Now, how is it possible that every woman that comes out will have the same shoe size? Except it's the Holy Ghost. But we know that knowledge is not brought. So people lie. They lie now. Just to steer people's faith up. But yes, people's faith will be steered up. God will honor his word. But you have committed the Ojoro. Yeah, the person that follows. How close? Nothing like that happened. Okay. Let me stop here. Praise God. Any contribution to tonight? Any contribution? I want us to leave here. Okay.
You know, when Pastor was talking about soldier, and he talked about the issue of focus, and I remember one of the training that is usually given to soldier to remain focused is that tiny hole of a gun. They will ask you to stay for about 10 meters away, sometimes 22 meters. For a sharpshooter, 30 meters. And you will put the gun in this tiny hole until you are able to aim at the target. So it requires a lot of patience. Of course, by the time you are pulling your trigger, if you shake a little, you miss it. If your head is not hung on the gun, you miss it. So, and it was basically, they know a lot of people will miss it. But you are not going to graduate until you are able to hit 21 times. Of course, we thought that the essence is just to be a sharpshooter. That's just the least essence. The least essence is to train you on focus. That irrespective of... Now, focus requires a lot of hardship. It really requires a lot of discipline. It requires a lot of concentration. Because there are so many things that could wave you up. In the process of you trying to pull the trigger, if the wind comes at that particular time, you miss it. If there is a little wind that blows your hand, you miss it. And all of these things are the reality of what we experience as believers. And it's very, very important that we to know that we are like those soldiers in training who were taught on how to aim a target. They were taught on how to aim a target, which require focus. So, if anybody is calling, if anybody is talking, you don't even hear. Sometimes you don't hear your instructor. They put an instructor behind you. Of course, the instructor is with stick. Your head is moving. Bah! So you are starting all over. You can stay there for 3 hours and he's on your knees. And of course, most times it's not on the dust. It's on a plain ground. On a plain ground. So by the time you are standing up, your knee has become callous and wicked. So when they ask you to stay on a sentry, you stay for hours like this. The only thing that is required when you, maybe about 30, 40 minutes, your leg is, you do like this. Or your body must not move. When you wait, of course, you are going to stay for 4 hours as a sentry. You stay there for 4 hours. God bless you when they have men in that place. If they don't have men, you might use 8 hours. So when your leg is paining you again, you do like this. And your gun is in your hand. So the comparison of being a soldier is very, very, very instructive of who we are as a believer. And until we deliberately learn the training of a soldier, you can Google it. Until you deliberately learn the training of a soldier, you will not know what this engagement is all about. And I know that they were not just playing with words. They are not playing with words when they compare us as soldiers. We are fighters. We are soldiers. We are people who should not be moved by little things. Little testimony of somebody is moving you, and not yet a soldier. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Thank you, sir. And even little offense. Pastor offended me. What did the pastor do? When I passed, I greeted the media answer. I'm not coming again to that church. They see my leg. It was not my father that bound me. You have disqualified yourself. So these are some of the things that goes into it. And I was also watching some... I watched this film. I don't know if many of you have come across it. The Officer and the Gentleman. Man. If I can find that film, I will make it a compulsory course that you watch the film. What went into making an officer? Ah. They showed that. And the man felt that the trainer was a wicked man. The man that was training them, he said that instructor was wicked. In fact, one of their classmates had to go and hang because he could not bear the stress, humiliation that man took them through. But see, when you wear those clips on your shake clips, normally, epaulettes, is an indication that you have been trained. Hallelujah. So when the soldier comes out and calls us bloody civilians, that means we are untrained. We are useless people. Amen. It's good to stand with Paul there on that roll call. When you are Paul, stand shoulder to shoulder. You share your testimony to sit down and say, ah, well, you know, try. Hallelujah. But when she pray, I drew some, Paul and I share testimony, I drew some, God, thank God for Paul. God will help us in Jesus' name. And any other contribution? I don't like it when nobody is contributing in church. This is PGT. You have freedom to talk. Bro Solomon, talk.
Praise God. I think it will be in form of a question. And the question is how to really be, how to be focused, especially when a lot of things are coming. Like, for me, for instance, now, there are some things I do personally, like my business. But because sometimes you hear people talking about prayer, how they prayed for hours, how they studied, how they deliberately seek God to get God. Because men believe that it should be a deliberate seeking. So how to really balance it with our activity? I would like that you share more light on that.
School, business, work, family,
it's a very technical, I'm thinking, trying to, how do we balance it? Well, if we're going to be able to balance it, that will require a lot of hard work. Because what that implies is that we have to, it's essential that no part of our life is lacking. Say, for instance, I'm a pastor, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a worker, and all of those things have to be in place. I have to fulfill my duties as far as each of those segments is concerned. What that is telling me is that my hands, I can't be lazy. One of the things is that I will have to go extra miles. That's the implication. Because if I say because I'm married now, I can't say because I'm married, I won't go to work, or because I have children, I won't go to work, or because I have children, I won't have. If pastor says, okay, I'm preaching tomorrow, I won't say because I have wife and children that I can't do that. What it means is that, take for instance, I have a ministration tomorrow morning, and I have children, and I have to put them to bed. It means that by the time they are going to sleep, I'm starting my own day. That's the implication. So if I want to live the normal life that every other person lives, then I will fall short. So it's going to require me to give extra effort. That's why the scripture keeps saying things like, do your best. Give diligence. If you find that in the epistles of Paul, you also see the same thing in the epistles of Peter. Striving is I think that's the aspect that is coming to my head at the moment, that you will have to know how to be able to do many things and be able to put pressure on yourself in order that you may be able to fulfill all your roles. Of course, it's not like that every time. Now, okay, take for instance in the house now. These days I can relax because we have help. But there was a time I was everything. And I did not die. But I had to work harder. Do you understand? I have to be mother. I have to be father. I have to be pastor. I have to be everything. And I just had to balance. And I have to still pray and do every other thing. So for me, it's work. So all I needed to do was to put in more effort, make sure that the times I would normally sleep, I cannot sleep at that time. The times I would normally wake up, I can't wake up. I have to change my schedule. So I think that's one of the things that it's just effort. You have to put in more. Of course, the grace of God is available, but the grace of God will not make you do something. It's there, but you have to task yourself. Then when you begin to do that, you see God helping you and helping you to sort things out. So I think I can't reason out, but for now, you have to work.
Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Yes. Basically, the wave on the sea is to test the strength of the ship. All those things that are put there, that are put around us, is just to test our strength. The Bible says that if you cannot run with us men, with footmen, how would you be able to run with us men? Business is part of our life. I think Pastor Ogi has dealt with that issue. But basically, a believer can never be focused on this course without a love for God. Your love is what will enhance and enable you to become a focused person. Love is the primary thing. Second thing is vision. Many of us in the church, we don't even have vision for God. We don't even have vision about Christ. We don't have purpose. Let me just go to church. If I don't go to church, pastor will be angry. He will ask of me. You are not focused. You can't be a focused believer. You must also have a vision. When I'm talking about vision, I'm not talking about vision to start a church, but I'm talking about a vision to become someone. I won't stop by making pastor as an example. Then it was the vision that I caught when he's coming with scriptures. And I don't have any scripture to quote. And so I have to go and start reading my scripture. There was a day when I entered into his library and I said, what? We look what over. Were you able to read it? And he said, I've read this. He gave me some. He gave me one or two. And I made up my mind that, okay, I'm going to double it. I was not even thinking of becoming pastor then. And I began to invest massively on books. So this issue of focus is very, very, it's a deliberate thing. It's based on the vision you have. It's based on your love level. It's also based on the kind of people that you move with. If you move with wrong people, you will have a wrong focus. You can't move with a drinker. You can't move with an adulterer. You can't move with a liar. You can't move with somebody who does not love God and you think that you will love God. It doesn't fix. So you need to really basically rearrange your life and your relationship with people. People that, you know, will steer you up. People that will encourage you. People that you will see, hope you and say, yes, at least if I cannot be like Christ, I will be like him. So all of these things will help us to become focused. And it is a deliberate thing that we need to do.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
You have a question? Okay. You have a question? Okay.
Yeah, contribute. Give us a contribution. How are you coping?
Okay, personally, what I do is, most times I set priorities, like what will come first. When I woke up in this morning, this is what I want to do, then followed by this. That's what I do most of the time.
So how do you cope? How do you add everything together?
At times, it takes me to stay awake. I was talking to someone, I think last week, I told the person that most times I walk through the night. Especially there are sometimes that I am into online courses, so most times I'm awake at night.
I woke up and meet you there. I've exhausted my...
There's a verse of the scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 4, said, no man worried and entangled himself with the affairs of this life. Okay, the question is, what is the example of the affairs of this life?
God bless you.
Praise God. Now, I just want to contribute to Brother Solomon's question. From the, when you started the teaching, this series, was it last 2 weeks or thereabout? One of the first things that you hammered on was that we should, like, as a soldier, that you must know when you see the reason for that cause, we be fully persuaded. Just like Dr. Miles Murray always says, purpose is not defined, abuse is inevitable. And Psalms chapter 42 verse 1, it says, as a donkey pants to the water brook, so my heart pants for you. So it now comes upon you that, okay, what are the things, just like my sister said, what are the things, what is the nature of my work? Now, when you know the nature of your work, for instance, when before I go to school, after I've been to Yabatek, I finished from Yabatek before I came here. So before I went to Yabatek, I've been a teacher for years. From 2012, I was teaching for years. So as I was teaching, I do home lessons. I have three home lessons that I must go to during the week. So as I'm teaching, I have classes that I'm taking, home lessons. So that makes me to come back. I'm supposed to come back by 4. So at times I come back by 6. At times I come back by 7. But now look at, okay, what can I do? Okay, this is the nature. Of course, I set the time. It was the time that I even gave myself a rule that no word, no food. So when I wake up in the morning, before eating food, I would have read the word or do my normal prayer time. So I now look at, okay, how do I balance this again? I put a time. Okay, before this time, in the evening, this is what I'm going to do. And for years, even up to now, God is helping me. So you must know what is the first thing to do. You must know the cause. It's not just plan. It's not just like a forceful thing. It comes out of your mind. When you know the cause of something, you will be persuaded to do that thing effectively.
Thank you very much. So God is not against you planning your day. You need to plan your day. Praise the Lord. Now that you are young.
Yourself to it. Before I got married, I won't take your time. Before I got married, I had time to myself. We were able to go around with friends, like what Pastor Bello said. And after marriage, there were so many things coming around, take care of children, go to work, no money, you have to do business. And yet in our church, then you go for programs. So what I was doing then was just pay for the time. I had to look for house help, and I paid for it. And when there was no house help, I rearranged my life, and this time, for years, I had house help. And up to now, God is helping us. We have people around us to assist us. So I somehow have time. And most of the time, I prefer doing whatever I want to do in the night. Because during the day, I don't have time. I have people around me. I have things to think about. So many things like that. So you need to organize yourself. You need to give yourself time. You need to itemize what you want to do, just like what they said. And I think it's a problem with many of us. And those of you that are coming up, with this present situation, you have to do extra things. And you need to organize yourself. We cannot say because we were looking for money or something like that, and we ignore the things of God. It says, seek ye first. And that should be a paramount thing. And I believe that the Lord will help us. Just organize yourself. Move around with people that can help you to grow. And then you'll see that there will be everything will fall in place. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. I think we'll stop here. But learn one thing. Learn how to plan. Learn how to plan. And make sure that you don't say, Oti Remi. If it requires you sleeping late and waking early, do it. Are you with me? God will help us.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.